Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a troll!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
Triple M rocks the footy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
It all started more than 20 years ago, when many of us were still pups. Two big men, though one was small in stature, gave birth to the Winfield Cup.
Since that time, there've been many who played the game to the end. They played it tough, but they played it fair, and walked off the field as friends. That's what the big game's all about, giving it the best you can. Playing like a model, then playing like Superman.
Yes, it's Retro Round on Triple M, the NRL celebrating it. And that, my friends, was the original Winfield Cup ad first scheduled on your screens back in 1982, the year Parramatta beat Manly in the grand final. Look, we're talking Retro Round. Let's bring in some rugby league royalty to join Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis and Ryan Girdler. Steve Blocker, Roach Blocker, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Good to talk to you, boys. How are you? What a beautiful day.
Yeah, fantastic. Gorgeous.
How are you, Block?
I'm fantastic.
Mate, Block, I suppose this is bringing back some great memories for you. You played with and against some of the great characters of the 80s.
I certainly did. I played with Kerry Hemsley, the bikey. And mate used to turn up to train on his bike. And mate, some great characters in, you know, Big Sam Becco. You remember Big Sammy, boys?
Yeah.
Sucking on the sponge and talking to reporters after the game and dropping a few expletives, if you remember back then. And, no, it was great. It was great playing in those days, mate. The 5 metre rule, sucking on the sponge. I remember playing in England in the winter, and all the pommies would be in the baths with about 2 inches of scum on it. And I'd go, mate, I'm just going to have a shower, boys, and I'll meet you back at the pub later on, eh?
Blocky, you blokes actually, you blokes are responsible for the sponge disappearing from the game because a bout of hepatitis went through the Tigers 1 year and the doctor was trying to figure out what happened. Then he saw a player take a big suck of the sponge and he nearly died himself when he saw it.
Oh, mate, could you imagine the day? I remember the doc that we had, Doc Clifford, he used to hate flying. And I got a bad cut on my eye one day. And he saved me up, and I think he had a few sips of whatever on the way down, alcohol. Yeah. And I went out after the game, and I went to bed and woke up. I couldn't shut my eye. He stitched my eyelid to me to the top of my head there. So he had to redo it in the morning. But mate, he was a great character, Dr. Clifford. Yeah, you're right about the sponge, mate. Blokes, can you imagine there was no hydration in those days? You know, I don't know if you guys know, they test for hydration every day. I mean, geez, we must have been thirsty. I mean, it was a bit of a sign of weakness drinking water. It was
beer. Wasn't it what? Speaking of thirsty, I was talking to Peter General, the assistant coach at Parramatta, was telling me a story once. A mate of his signed up at Balmain back in the day when you were playing there with Kerry Hemsley and whatnot. And so he was there one day and one of the early games in the preseason, they went back to Balmain Leeds Club. And this bloke just loved, he was a prop, he had the mad mullet, and he just loved Kerry Hemsley. So he said to Kerry Hemsley, he said, mate, can I get you a beer? And Kerry Hemsley, oh, mate, I'm all right, I'm in a shout. He said, no, I'll get you a beer. So anyway, Hemsley says, righto, mate, I'll have a twoies. And so he goes to the bar, comes back with a couple of beers, and he hands Kerry Hemsley a midi of twoies new.
Mm.
Kerry Hemsley, the midi glass just falls straight through his hand and smashes on the floor. And the kid sort of looked at it, and Kerry Hemsley looked at it and said, only hold schooners, mate.
He said, they don't fit in my hands, mate. I think it's a great story. I don't know if you blokes were. We were only really young. And what happened was the the prop that had been playing the longest in first grade get the win, always got to go on the ball side. So I tried to, you know, where the halfback had put the ball in those days. Mm. I tried to go over there and he says, "Hey, son, what are you doing?" He said, "Get over." Well, he's only 2 years older than me. "Hey, son, what are you doing? Get over on the other side, mate. You've got to earn your right to play here." Anyway, we were only young and we weren't married or anything. And he saw it. We were down Des Moines Rowers one day and he just happened to, you know, pull these two young chicks. I thought, "Hello, he's going to throw me a bone here. This will be good, you know, just a young bloke from the country." Anyway, he had a ute with a dog in the back of it. And we were driving from the Rowers into the cross. And I got to go into the front of the car with him. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, mate, just jumping in the front." He said, "No. He said, "Mate, you're on the back. The two girls are in the front. You're in the back of the ute." Well, I reckon the dog bit me 26 times on the way. You ever try to go near someone's ute when there's a dog in there? But he was a super character, as was Terry Regan. I got the pleasure of playing with Terry too. What, talk about madness. Wow, what a mad bloke he was. But back in those days. But I come through the grades, you know, with, you know, Bill Hilliard and all those sort of guys. So you got to learn your trade in reserve grade before you actually got the chance to play in first grade.
Yeah.
Unfortunately now with first grade footy players, it's not their fault, just the way the game's gone. But you don't learn to be a footy player until you know, some of these guys are getting thrusted into first grade and, you know, unfortunately, just thrown to the wall straight away. And, you know, back in the day, you know, with Steve Lavis and all those sort of guys and Gary Spears and Sound the Alarm and Talon McMahon, all those sort of guys, I got to learn the trade before we actually played, you know.
Yeah, that's the big thing that's missing, isn't it? That, because reserve grade was a great place for players who had played a lot of first grade and were on their way down, and players who were about to play a lot of first grade on their way up. There was not really a lot in between. There were a couple of campaigners that used to spend their careers in reserve grade. But it was an opportunity to educate the young kids that they sort of get bypassed now, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you know, it does, mate. You know, and, you know, Lucas Lloyd Martin and Neil Pringle and all those sort of guys, when I first came into grade, they were sort of at the back end of their careers and they were playing reserve grade. Mate, they had their own language. They had their own Balmain language. I didn't understand what the bloody hell was going on, you know. I'd say to them, "Mate, can you talk English, please? Because me, you'll be going, 'Nick Fly, the iron blower, I'm down the orchard,' you know, like all that sort of stuff." I'm going, what are these blokes talking about?
Hey, Block.
Please, can you? Yeah.
Hey, Block, if you could sort of rewind your career back and play with one guy from like any era, who would it have been?
Mate, Arthur Beetson, mate. When I was growing up, the big heroes in my town from Wollongong were Bob Fulton and Graham Langlands. You know, everyone wanted to be those guys. But, mate, I was lucky enough to see this big unit play on the ABC when there was only one match of the day on. Match of the round. You'd only see me and my brothers would be playing me footy in the hallway and, mate, the great Arthur Beetson, mate. I loved him that much that Rex Mossop gave me a tape of him because I used to talk about him all the time. And I got this tape of him, you know, just playing for 20 minutes. And, mate, I'd followed the footy and I loved the footy. And I used to, to my detriment, you know, I used to follow Manly when I was a kid because of Bob Fulton. But, just watching the way this bloke played the game, it sort of hurts me a little bit now when, you know, you talk about, you know, the great historians of the game, mate. I talked to Slater and Smith and all those sort of guys, mate. They've got a great handle on what happened in our game, you know, 50 years ago. Mate, yeah. A lot of the young blokes today wouldn't even know, you know, they'd all know who Arthur Beetson was, of course.
Well, Fafita said he didn't.
Well, that's right. And I nearly slapped him down. Yeah. Honestly, fair dinkum, mate. You know, I felt like going to get him, when he said, "Oh, geez, he must be able to play if... Now, if he can play like me, like Fafita's a good player, but Arthur Beetson's the best forward ever to play our game, in my opinion. I thought he was absolutely unbelievable. Had that turn of speed, he could offload the ball at any occasion, you know, pull in two or three blokes and just great on his feet and just a wonderful player. But I do wish that we'd learn about all these guys and go back and I reckon it's a big sign of respect when you know all these guys that have gone before you, because you know you wouldn't have what you got today if it wasn't for all those guys digging the well back in the day.
And, And the good news about that is Mel Meninga, now that he's taken over the Australian job, he actually wants that to happen. Like someone like Wally Lewis,
yeah,
he actually played 300 first-class games, and all these guys have played more games, so he wants all that to be recognised. Block, what about your favourite player? Who's the guy that you think was the best player you ever played with?
Oh, mate, I've got to say, it was a toss-up for me. You know, Wally Lewis was unbelievable. I tell you why, he could make the game go faster, he could make it go slow. If something needed to be done, he could score a try out of nothing, and he could con the referee as a genius talker. You know, he never shut up on the field. I know he did it. But Gene Walls, mate, I was late enough to play in a test match with Gino one day, and we were playing against the Poms, and I think it was 28-0 at half-time. Gene had scored two and put two on. Mate, he was unbelievable. Doesn't get the accolades. There's a lot of blokes that don't get the accolades they probably should. You know, I think the back line that day was Sterling Lewis, Kenny, Gene Miles, Eric Groth, Dale Shearer, who was a very, very underrated player. Dale Shearer was a wonderful player for Australia, and Gary Jack at fullback. Mate, this is honest. I remember that Gene Miles was that much on fire in that test match. I don't think I crossed the halfway line. He was that good.
Yeah.
Mate, he was unbelievable.
Blocker, just one sec, mate. Manly 4, Roosters 0, 11.5 gone. Sorry to interrupt you, Block. If you've just joined us, we're speaking to Blocker Roach.
Yeah, Block, I just want to ask you about some of the tours that you went on and some of the characters. I mean, a lot of people say now that most of the characters are gone out of the game, and when one comes along, we need to embrace them. Who were some of the real characters that you toured with?
Oh, I made all of them. 28 blokes went away on a tour. It was unbelievable because, you know, I'll tell you, Terry Lamb was probably the best. We went to see this historic place one day, and none of us wanted to go or whatever. I don't know what it was, some chapel or whatever we were in or something. And he snuck ahead and hid in this bloody 2,000-year-old bloody coffin. And, you know, the person showing us all this stuff and going, oh, you know, here's this, and this is, you know, 1867 and bloody whatever. All of a sudden you hear this, help me. we all put our pants, of course. And anyway, little Bard comes out of the coffin and says, I got you, you know. But it was great. It was great going around to all those, playing in all those tour matches. The blokes that are playing today, and Mel's trying to bring it back, and I'm glad you mentioned what Mel's trying to do, trying to bring back those tours. Pardon me, just had a bit of the flu lately, but, mate, what happened was last year, before they went on tour, Mel has made this ode to the Kangaroos, and if you'd played 20 test matches for Australia, 30, 40, 50, they've got these different coloured kangaroo jumpers that they give out, and mate, I couldn't believe it. You know that we finally, you know, sort of putting the stamp on what Australia should mean and what it should mean to play for Australia. And this book, I'd love to give it to you one day, boys. And well, you've got to give it back to me. But just to read what it means to be a kangaroo. A lot of people out there, I reckon, would be really interested in what this bloke is trying to do to bring back that passion to play for Australia and, you know, and handing out all those jumpers. And what he did was this ode, this book, the Book of the Kangaroos, every one of the kangaroos that toured in the tour last year actually presented it to all the players that were there at the reunion. It was just little things and nice touches that Mel's brought back in. And, mate, you know, any wonder that, you know, everyone wants to play for Australia now.
Yeah.
Block, what about you go back to that era when, you know, blokes like me were sitting on the hill watching, you know, just watching you blokes run around, and things like, you know, I was thinking this morning, I was lying there in bed about, you know, we used to see the kicking duels. Remember the old kicking duels?
I do.
You know, often it might involve somebody like Changa Langlands or maybe the Sand Boy. Whatever happened to the Sand Boy? I mean, he got made redundant many, many years ago, but they're all great memories.
But what about whatever happened to playing in the slush? That was... Yeah. Mate, playing in the mud and the slush and playing it. See, a lot of these guys would know, like, playing at the cricket ground and North Sydney Oval at that time, the game would be played around the cricket pitches because the cricket pitches were that hard. If you got banged in there or your studs went in there, you'd break your ankle or you'd get head slammed or whatever, you know, whatever happened in those days. But pardon me, boys, playing in the five-metre rule was unbelievable because you had to have your wits about it. Now, this is how far back the game's gone now. If you have a look at the game now, the game is played nice and fast and flat off dummy halves who have got a little bit of skill.
Yep.
Benny Elias was playing like that in 1985. Fast and flat, players in motion. And Warren Ryan sort of, he encouraged that type of play, fast and flat at the line. If you have a look, you know, the last couple of years we've been tied into, you know, the block play out the back for a block play. Oh, mate, boring. I love seeing blokes put themselves and put their body on the line, because a lot of the times you're going to get the ball and they call it the crash line. You're going to run that crash line. You know you're going to get hit, but you run it anyway. Do you understand what I mean? So having those players in, and mate, Gordon Tallis did it better than anyone, playing that crash line off dummy halves, you know? Because that's the brave line that sometimes you gotta run. And even, you know, I admire all these guys that play today, mate. They're wonderful athletes. I'd just like to see, you know, blokes using the ball a little bit more, or someone to be able to teach them how to catch and pass and all that sort of stuff. I'd love. If I have a look at Melbourne now and I watch the way they play, they can turn mid-game. If they're getting tied up somewhere around the ruck or something's happened to them, Cameron Smith can actually all of a sudden turn the game. And, mate, geez, they're going to be hard to beat. Because think back, and I'm so glad that Cronulla won the comp and everything last year. Think back to last year. If Billy Slater and Carr play in that grand final last year, I don't think that the Sharks win that premiership. I'm not taking anything away from them. That's why I think that they're specials this year, because Vunivalu, and then you've got Carr on the other wing. Carr has been unbelievable. Imagine him playing on the outside. So you can't buy anything but speed. If you've got speed, that's, mate, shut the gate. But have a look at the blokes that are servicing that Carr now, and have a look at some of the tries that he scored this year. Vunivalu on the other side. Billy Slater hungry for a premiership. I can't see anyone coming close to him.
Yeah, they've also got Munster coming back in at six, and they've got a young guy they've unearthed during this Origin period this year called Scott, left centre. Like, Chase Blair's obviously done a decent job there for a couple of seasons, but they've got a real future star in the making. There's not too many weaknesses there, Block.
No, what about Munster? And, mate, you know, Munster in State of Origin just shows how Queensland, you know, prime their players. I thought it was Wally Lewis playing. That was Wally Lewis's best. Now, see, young blokes coming into Origin, you know, Gordian that'll be able to tell you, you know. Your first few, you don't really know what to expect. You don't really know, you know, how the game's going to go. This kid come in, and it amazed me. He just ran. His first sense or his first thing was run. Don't worry about passing it. Run. And, mate, he carved New South Wales. Honestly, that's... In that position that he played at 5'8", that's probably the best debut I've ever seen, because he just ran the ball. He didn't think about anything else.
Good on you, Block, mate.
I like you with that.
We could speak to you for hours, buddy, but unfortunately we've got to go. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon, mate, and enjoy the rest of Retro Round. I hope we don't leave it that long till we get you on again.
Yeah, my pleasure. Always good to talk to good men.
Yeah, good on you, Block. Cheers, we love Block, you, mate. Yeah, all the best. There he goes, Steve Roach joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. As always, we do it thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Manly and the Sydney Roosters 4-all, 18 gone at Lotto Land. Manly and the Roosters 4-all.
Remember when there was just two stats? There was tackles and missed tackles, and that was it. There was not there wasn't carries or post-contact meters or any of that. There was just, how many tackles do I make? How many do I miss? Okay, that's it.
What about when someone had scored a try and it had come up how old he was and what he did for a quid? He'd be a local Garbo, or he'd work in the bank or something like that.
Garbologist.
At Hurstville Council. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you there, Kenny. 6-4, Latrell Mitchell has just converted. Did you want to say something, PK?
No, I didn't actually, Anthony.
Okay, well, have a think. If you do want to, let me know if you do want to say anything. In the meantime, I'll play you this wonderful ad, this great old ad from 1984, which will make you feel like a twoies. Have a listen to this.
As well ahead, but the gap starts to narrow. Manly's coming back. Seems like they're built out of steel. How do you feel? You thump them, bump them, pick them up and dump them. Manly's coming back. The pressure keeps on coming. It just goes to show what an eagle can do to an ear. How do you feel? Manly's coming back. A good trial to it. Up goes the bomb. Too bad they blew it. The eels see a chance and latch on to it. Just a motion comes sliding in, and all the crowd begins to sing. I feel like a silly. I feel like a silly.
The famous rivalry, Manly and Para, and of course those great old names from back in 1984. If you've just joined us, we're having a couple of hours where we just celebrate Retro Round, looking all things retro in rugby league, the old jerseys, the toe pokers, the sand boy, driving your car into Henson Park and watching the mighty Jets play. And as part of it all, the great man in our newsroom, Jeff Tyler, who's gone all retro with some Retro Round and a Retro Round news update.
Thanks, fellas. Well, Wally Lewis is set to be ruled out of the upcoming State of Origin match in Long Beach, California. The King has a neck injury, and the news is a blow to organisers who are predicting league will be such a hit in America it will soon challenge the NFL. Meantime, Bob Fulton has finally opened up about his infamous comments about young referee Bill Harrigan. Bozo had said he hoped someone would run over Harrigan in a cement truck. He says he regrets those comments, clarifying an Isuzu 18-wheeler would have been more appropriate. Aussie Joe Bugner has won his latest comeback fight. He's currently on his fifth return from retirement and wants a bout with world champ Mike Tyson. Reigning Wimbledon champion Pat Cash has won his latest ATP match in the States, beating unknown teenager Andre Agassi. Don't bother jotting that name down. We'll probably never hear that one again. The Superfecta, the TAB's new betting option, will be launched this Saturday, Arvo. For the Rose Hill meeting, it's tipped to be a monster success until people realise correctly picking the order of the first six horses is really hard to do. And Nigel Mansell and Nelson Piquet are 1 and 2 off the grid for tonight's Hungarian Grand Prix. The coverage on Channel 9 with Daryl Eastlake and Alan Jones starts after the Sunday movie, which this week is the premiere of Fatal Attraction. Meantime, in news, get in the queue for a home loan. It's expected to be the RBA's interest rate will drop on Tuesday to a lean 15.75%. That's the latest in sport, thanks to NEC, the home of Mr. Okimura.
Oh, that's great stuff, Jeff Tyler. Retro Round news.
And really good.
Of course, Jeff gets dressed for Retro Round every day of the working week. So he really fits in today.
Geez, you're brave when he's not in the same room. As soon as someone leaves the room, you're so good.
See, why jump into me like that, mate? That's an HR issue. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler and Maroon. We're going to come back with Retro Round and our Retro Round special. Take a look at the great rugby league commentators of days gone by as Triple M rocks the footy. Roosters 10, Manly 4.
For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
The time for talk is over.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
Oh, the bunker's getting an absolute flogging today.
Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers. Tyre Power score update. Roosters 12, Manly 4 at Lotto Land. That's Brookvale Oval. In retro terms, 25 gone, Sydney Roosters 12, Manly 4, or perhaps for the sake of retro round, I should say Eastern Suburbs 12, Manly Warringah 4, and that score is all thanks to Tyre Power. Ryan Girdler, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis and Maroon, it is retro round, and for the next hour or so, we've got a retro special. Everything 80s to celebrate the NRL's retro round. When it comes to rugby league commentators, the first two I remember, the radio was Frank Hyde, but of course the TV, the great moose, the great man, Rex Mossop. Here's some Rex Mossop commentary for Retro Round.
Welcome to Seven's Big League. Here's Rex Mossop.
Canterbury, the entertainers of rugby league, and South Sydney, the high flyers of 1982. What more could a rugby league fan ask for? It's a packed Belmore sports ground for the monumental clash of homeside Canterbury Bankstown have got their problems. They've got Geeran, Paponis, Cassillis and Graham Hughes already on the injured list. They've lost Craig Madsen from last Wednesday's KB Cup loss to Newtown. His replacement, Steve Mullen, a youngster who's been around for several seasons in the lower grade and a former Australian schoolboy representative player. Another blow has been the withdrawal of crowd-pleasing prop forward Jeff Robinson, lack of condition being given as the reason. His place is taken by the reserve grade captain, Taz Battieri, a player who's highly regarded by the Bulldog officials. Now, South Sydney have had a worrying week with a number of players in doubt. However, match day has the team as selected. Exciting new fullback Danny Loftus has been retained in the top side. His form has been great in recent weeks. Regular lock forward Michael Carberry has taken time to recover from his leg problems. So Shane Arneil will continue the excellent backup job he's been doing in the last couple of matches. Can former Rugby Union international Tony Melrose continue to make his critics eat their words? He's been playing mighty football and I think he must be on the threshold of City selection. Today's clash with the Mortimers, Chris and Peter, may well sort out the City second three-quarter line. South Sydney second, Canterbury fifth. Everything to play for. Before they start, a look at the team's stats.
Yeah, the great Rex Mossop, I remember that game, and the Doggies actually won that game, and my old mate Danny Loftus playing fullback there. He had a good year in 82. He's the milkman round here now, Danny Loftus. I know you're listening, Dan. Good to have you on board. It's retro round, and that was one of the great commentators from the 80s, the great man Rex Mossop, Controversy Corner. And I can remember, you know, when Rex would turn up to Redfern Oval and get, it would be like a movie star had arrived and only be giving away Mazda RX-7s and John Brown velour jumpers, Patra Orange juice, Ben Hogan leader golf balls back in the great day. Paul Kent, you're probably the only other one old enough to remember the glory days of Rex Mossop because you're not that much younger than me.
Oh, look, I wouldn't say it's the glory days. He was fading out when I was coming through, Anthony. There's a long, big difference in the 4 years we were born apart. Look, I think Rex was a bit of a trailblazer, to be honest. The way he came on with Controversy Corner, he just brought honest discussion to rugby league, and that's something that we try to do now on Fox League. We try and not pander to reputations or to ego, and just basically call it as you see it. And Rex was the original with that. He had an unusual cast back then. People like Alan Clarkson and Ferris Ashton, Noel Kelly was on there. There was someone else.
Was Cole Pearce on
Cole Pearce yeah. was the referee on there, yeah. And so there was quite a cast of characters, all different characters. Some were quite happy to get in boots and all with Rex, but nobody could match Rex as far as when it came time to deliver a blunt truth. And I think it's something that rugby league needs. I think the game is at its best when there's rigorous discussion around it. And I think he set the tone. Then it disappears from television for a little while, I think through the 90s and whatnot, once Rex retired from rugby league. Commentary, but it's good to hear. I went to Rex's funeral actually when he died some time ago. Now it was quite an interesting story. He was a tough man, Rex. Yeah. A lot of people overlooked that. Rex, he actually had he broke his ankle when he was playing. Rex, he played rugby union for Australia and also rugby league for Australia. He broke his ankle and he had a problem when he came back, and it wasn't his ankle kept irritating and blowing up and all the rest of it. And finally, he went and got an X-ray on it. And the doctor said, you've grown a bone spur and you won't be able to, you're going to have it operated and all the rest of it. And he couldn't play and he couldn't do much on it. But so Rex being Rex, rather than have the operation, and he told me the story, I can't remember why he didn't have the operation now, which forgive me for that. But the way he got himself right, because there was a tour coming up at the end of the year and he wanted to be ready for it. So what he would do is he would run down the oval every afternoon and he would do laps around the oval and through the pain of this bone spur growing in his ankle. And essentially what he did was he wore the bone spur away.
Amazing. Just,
that's tough.
That's old school. Now, wow. Of course, we had the midweek competition, which began in 1974 with Western Division winning it back then, but it was massive in the 1980s. And 1984, a combined Brisbane side with some big names took on the Roosters. So this was a massive event as far as the midweek competition was concerned back in 1984, probably at its peak. And as part of Retro Round, let's have a listen to some of the commentary of that game.
Whichever way you want to look at it, this Brisbane side is certainly a champion one. Scott, Kilroy, Rebo, Meninga, Miles and Lewis, today described as the mean machine. Foster, Linda, Fullerton Smith, Niebling, Polson, Muller and Dowling. It certainly is a very awesome lineup. Number one and fullback, Colin Scott on one wing in number two, Joe Kilroy. And then three, the centre is Mel Meninga. Number four, his centre partner, Gene Miles. On the other wing, in five jumper, John Rebo. At 6 5/8, their captain, the great Wally Lewis. Number seven is Henry Foster. In eight is Bob Linder. The second row combination of nine, Wally Fullerton Smith. And 10, Brian Niebling. In 11, Richard Polson. 12 is Eddie Muller. And 13, the other prop forward and Australian rep, Greg Darling. Final of the National Panasonic Cup with Brian Niebling taking the shallow kickoff, and Miles, I thought, could have really taken that ball, but he elected to try and take it on the toe. Well, Wally Lewis is tackled about 7 metres out from his line. He wouldn't be very happy with Muller. Muller got in his way, but he's over! That's a try! Scored by Wally Lewis from dummy half. so simple. Brisbane with Meninga to Lewis, and then it's gone on to Miles, and the big international centre is in the score. Eastern Suburbs could no longer deny them, with Gene Miles under the uprights, bringing a smile to the face of Bobby McCarthy. How much can Brisbane take? Now they've got six more tackles against them. Hastings to play it, dummy half Sorensen, out through Hardy.
The bell's on gone.
Miller. The siren has gone. Miller goes for the line. Garland's got it to Sorensen. There's the siren. It's over. Brisbane have won it. Brisbane have won the cup final. My goodness, and don't they deserve it? They must have withstood something like 24 tackles in the last exchanges of this unbelievably exciting cup final.
There it is. Combined Brisbane winning the 1984 midweek final. It's retro round on Triple M. So we are celebrating with Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. Looking at everything retro for the next hour or so. It's a retro special and we've got plenty to come. Just to interrupt the retro atmosphere for a minute, Roosters 18, Manly 4 for tyre power, 7 till half time. But look, it's back in the mid-80s. If you can picture this, Ryan, I know you've got a magnificent imagination. Here's a brand new song for a band called Australian Crawl, and the song is Errol on 104.9 Triple M.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerds. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
And welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. With 3 minutes to go till half time in the game at Lotto Land, Manly have just scored. 3 minutes till half time. So the Roosters 18, Manly 8, with a kick to come for Manly from right in front. We are having a retro special because it's retro round in the NRL. So time to talk a little bit of scrums and hookers and whatnot. Max Krillich, Roy Simmons, Georgie Paponis, Mario Finnegan, Steve Edge. Have a listen to this audio as they talk about old school scrums.
Well, scrums in my day were a fair dinkum because if you won the ball, basically you won the game and your job was to win the ball. If you got over a 50% majority of the ball, if you got 60 or 65, 70%, your team won, and that was basically my job, was to win the ball.
They were very competitive and very hard. Every time we went into a scrum, you could hear the hit and the thud, and it was very competitive to try to get that loose head, so it was pretty mean stuff. You don't end up a head like this, mate, if you weren't in there trying to do your best, you know.
Some of these young little hookers wouldn't, well, should I say halfbacks, cum hookers, wouldn't have survived in the old days. You know, there were plenty of games I played against the Poms and played against West where you'd get your eyes gouged or you'd cop an uppercut in a scrum and your front row would be spending his whole time trying to defend you, and it was a struggle. You'd go in there and you'd charge and you'd try everything to win the ball, and if you won the scrums, then chances are you won the game.
I remember my first scrum working out. It was my loose and feet, so I had to win the scrum. I'm just about ready to strike for the ball, and all of a sudden, John Gray's hand slipped around and went straight over my face. I couldn't see, and he took the ball off me. Well, I got an absolute bath in the scrums, and I'll tell you what, he taught me a lot, John Gray, that day.
Well, they were pretty rough and tumble. It was, you knew you were in a scrum, and quite often was a really physical part of the game, and quite often you got to meet the opposition fairly closely.
Can you recall the worst thing that ever happened to you in a scrum?
Yeah, I think it was Benny Elias kissed me. That was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And just, just a bit of fun.
You wandered your fingers trying to cover the other hooker's eyes. You might wander one into their mouth occasionally, get a bit of a nibble on your finger, and that was entitled to happen to you. And a few cuts over either eye or from a bit of a punch from the back row from a second row or whatever, but I suppose everyone was in there to do the best to get that ball because it was you can't score tries without it, simple as that.
Yeah, that's great stuff as we do our retro round special. That's all the old hookers talking about the old school scrums. The names again, Max Krillich, Roy Simmons, George Paponis, Mario Fenwick and Stevie Edge. Yeah. Old school scrums, Gordy Tallis, you want to open us up here?
Oh, well, I don't really remember them. I come in the early 90s, so they were cleaned up by then when we'd sort of just get in there to have a rest. But I remember Rod Reddy was coaching at the Dragons, and I always loved talking to Rocket because he was just well, for one, he was a Rockhampton boy, but he got me down there. Just such a great ball playing back row. He's just so different to my style. So trying to learn so much. I remember asking him, like, you know, who's tough? And, you know, he was talking about Ray Price. And he said, one day I was playing against Manly. And I heard that Eagle, what's his name?
Terry Randall.
Terry Randall's after me. And I said, oh, mate, was he tough? He goes, good. And I tell you how tough he was. He did weights before weights were invented. That's how hard and tough he was. And just stayed away from me. He goes, so I'm hearing this Terry Randall's going to get me. He goes, so what did I do? He goes, the first scrum, he goes, I just let go the biggest uppercut I possibly could. He goes, I hit him flush. And he goes, and he just put his head up. It didn't worry him. And he goes, and as he's put his head up, I turned to Robert Stone, who was my second row partner, and goes, Stoney, you shouldn't have done that. And he reckoned from then on, Igor chased Stoney, and I could just go back and play my natural game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the old school scrums, Kenny. What do you reckon, mate? You got anything to add?
Oh, look, they're a big problem for the game scrums, aren't they? Because the way they've developed now, they are arrest, there are a free way we restart the game, and everybody likes it because it's a lot cleaner. It was, for all the romanticism about the old scrum, we all say, yeah, wasn't it great to see them pushing and scrums against the feed and all that rest of it, but we forget about the times that the ball would get kicked out. They have to feed it 3, 4, 5 times just to get the ball in, or the scrum would collapse and it'd be messy. Yeah. They'd have to get up and repack. We forget all that. Now they're much cleaner and they just get the game going again. But what we have lost in that process is a contest for the ball. And so now if you go out and you just don't drop the ball and you get to your kick every time, and what the magic word completions, then what we do is we get through, and any team that completes, it's virtually impossible to beat them because you can't get the ball off them. Mm. Whereas in the old days you could have the ball, kick it into touch, send your hooker in, and hopefully win, even against the feed, hopefully win the scrum. And Maroon, I'll make one concession to you today. I am old enough to remember when the hookers used to go to scrums. They used to put up their winning percentage of how many scrums they won, which is something that we've all forgotten about. Mm. But they used to put up his strike rate, they used to call it, you know, 68% or 48%. And as I think it was Max Krillish speaking in that little monologue we heard there, if you're below 50%, well, basically you're struggling to hang on to your position.
Mm-hmm. Right. Also, what I used to like about the fact, like when we grew up, they were still that way, and I've always sort of played in the backs, but you never used to know whether you were getting the ball or not. That was the thing. Yeah. You know, when you're waiting out there sort of at 5'8" in the centres in the juniors, you didn't know whether to stand deep or you didn't know whether to be shallow you're going to defend. So it changed that. The other thing I don't like about today, that the fact that there's no competition for the scrums is the fact that you get front rowers now at 5'8",
hitting the ball up
and setting for positions in the field, where as a back, when you get in that attacking zone, it was a prime opportunity if you won the footy to attack one-on-one and get yourself in a good position to score some points. But now they don't seem to do that too often, or if they do it, it comes off the back of they have a big back rower or a front rower in the back line doing a hit-up, and before you wouldn't put a centre or a winger in the scrum because you get pushed off the football.
Yeah, and I'd like to see the powers above have a look at the scrums, because if they started to push, they wouldn't break as quick. So then if you break quick, well, they push you off the football. So what happens is, and then people say, well, why do you have scrums? Well, there's more space for your backs. If you don't have a scrum and there's six guys, you know, condensing a part of the field, but they need to bring back a push or something like that. Or do you know when it goes in and they can have a charge or they kick it or whatever? And if it comes out and your halfback dives on it, that's it.
Yeah.
To make it another contest, which what it was invented for. So then it stops the 5'8" out there, or like, I remember, and this was even when Stephen Price was playing, somebody made a break. The front rower tackled him. Mm. The front rower should not tackle anybody out of a scrum.
Well, I saw that yesterday. Ryan James got out of the scrum, out of the front row, and pushed a winger over the sideline on play one.
Yeah.
Fellas, what about bringing a player back? What's a player from the 80s, because it's retro, and a player from the 80s you'd like to see play now?
Look, I think the role of a winger has just developed so much. And back in the day, you could be a Kerry Boaster, you could be a Slippery Morris, you could be like 80 kilos. And wingers, traditionally, until sort of Wendell got involved, they sort of changed the way the game was played a little bit.
I don't reckon they would have been.
Could you imagine bringing back Eric Groth Senior now and putting him in today's environment where he's doing play ones runs and play two. I don't know whether he'd want to do it because he was the kind of guy that once you gave him the ball, well, he'd just wreak carnage. But he'd get it, like, you know, once every four or five sets from on the end of the Parramatta back line. But you imagine big Eric Groth coming in and doing, you know, play one, play two hit-ups. He would be a weapon.
Yeah, that's what Blocker said on Thursday night when we were all at Fox. He goes, oh, winger in was so good, and then Eric Groth come along. Yeah. And he goes, then it wasn't good anymore when Eric would come in and take the first tap. Yeah. It was like, no, we liked it when the little blokes would come in. But I suppose for me, the guy that I would love to have watched play would have been Arthur Beaton because being a young Queensland kid, like, and Wally and all those guys, like, then I know the history and I know, you know, this huge reputation that goes with Melbourne Ingram, and I know what he did for Queensland in that first ever game, but I don't remember too much of him in the past. And, you know, Balmain had said, and then when the Parramattas, when they all went to his funeral and all the Parramatta players were talking about, said he didn't lose anything. He goes, whatever Arthur Beaton put his mind to, he would win. And he goes, you know, and then I think when he was fighting one of the Parramatta players in the first Origin, and Mick Cronin said to me, he goes, he wasn't fighting him, mate. He goes, if he was, he goes, the bloke wouldn't have been standing. He goes, Arthur was just one of those guys that was just so talented. So I'd love to have seen why Wally Lawson, Gene Miles and all those guys that have wore the Queensland jersey, because that's where it all started for us.
Sorry, Gordy.
And probably a guy that I would love to have played with. I just would have loved to have played with Wally Lawson, Gene Miles. I think Gene Miles was my favourite because growing up in Townsville, like, I watched him sort of play all of his junior footy, and my dad sort of had something to do with his career, maybe in under 20 or under 17s when he was playing for Townsville, and Colin Scott and Chris Field and all those type of guys. But obviously Gino and then Wally Lewis for every Queensland kid. I just would have loved. I missed Wally by about 3 years, you know. I just wish I would have played with Wally Lewis.
Okay, this is Retro Round, our Retro Round special on Sunday Triple M NRL. Just talking about players. Dig up one player from the 80s you'd like to see play today. Kenny, you got anyone you want to toss up?
Oh, look, I'd probably go along with Gordon with Arthur. He was an unusual player. He played a style of football. He was a bit like Lockyer. Lockyer, you can't you can describe how Lockyer plays, but you can't mimic it. And Arthur's that way. You can see what Arthur does. You can see the genius of what Arthur did, but nobody else can do that. He's just such a rare gift of size and speed and strength and all that. And yeah, I had a little bit to do with Arthur in my early career because he was at the Roosters at the time. He was coaching at Cronulla at the time. And I used to bring him up and talk to him, and he used to go to training in those days and sit down and training and just watch. He just used to sit and watch the Roosters train. And this is when he was then working as a recruitment officer. And you just sit and talk football to him, and he just had an unusual way to see football. He saw it in a very clean way. He didn't get blindsided with all the rubbish that goes on around the game. He just saw it for what was important. He saw through all the crap and went to what actually mattered. And he was always an enjoyable conversation. And everybody I ever spoke to about the way he played, just it was marvellous. And yeah, the other player probably who I would like to see play today is Mick Cronin, who was called Arthur Beaton in the back line. But he was a great player.
All right, good on you, Kenny. Sunday Triple M NRL, it's Retro Round. We've got our retro special. Halftime, Roosters 18, Manly 10. Roosters 18, Manly 10. That score update is thanks to Tyre Power. 4 o'clock today, it's Penrith and the West Tigers. Danganan will call that one for you. So if you haven't done it yet, just for final series and getting ready for all the finals action coming up, download the app now at triplem.com.au. But you'll get this game live on your radio this afternoon from 4. Ryan Girdler, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis and Maroon back with more of our retro special as Triple M rocks the footy. But on the way there, we all remember the Parramatta Manly beer ad, Tui's ad. What about the one that Glenn Coleman from the Sharks did? Well, have a listen to the Tui's ad. Here it is on the Triple M Retro Round.
How do you feel? Your first big game, your what's his name? Who is this kid? How do you feel? Your stomach churns, the liniment burns, your palms away. How do you feel? Your first big chance slips through your hand, what a serve you get. How do you feel? The pace is on, your winner's scrum, it's heaven sent. How do you feel when you score a try with a dummy and a jink?
Two weeks or two. I feel like a
Triple M rocks the NRL. For Brighton's Lawyers, protecting your future.